Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So I was realizing this week as I was prepping this message that this is actually a first for me. It's the first time in my 11 years as a pastor that I've got the opportunity to preach on the book of Lamentations. Now, if you know the book of Lamentations, you might be thinking, well, that's not all that exciting. Lamentations is one of those books of the Bible I lump in the same category as Ecclesiastes. Not the kind of book you want to read if you're having a bad day, a bad week, or a bad year. When I told Jamie what I was going to be preaching on this Sunday, she said, oh, so are you going to title your sermon, How to Be a Debbie Downer? I said, no. There's a reason that we have books like Ecclesiastes and Lamentations in the Word of God. There's a reason that God has given these words to us. And I think one of the reasons that we have, particularly the book of Lamentations, is that in it we see this common experience that we all share. Experiences where some grief or sorrow comes our way, and we look back at better days, wondering, why can't we experience that now? Lamentations gives voice to this very common experience that we all share. Experience of lamenting in the face of grief and sorrow and sadness. Because, as I mentioned, we all have those moments where things aren't going so well, and then we look back at our past, at some imagined point in the past, and we think of the good old days. And sometimes it might be something simple. You know, the good old days when gas was under a dollar, or the good old days just a few months back when lumber was affordable and I could do projects without killing my wallet. And sometimes it takes on a much more serious tone when we look back at the past and we remember the good old days. Maybe we remember the days when our kids were still living with us in our homes. We look back and we remember the days before the kids came when we could actually sleep past 6 or 7 in the morning. Or we look back and remember the days when we were children in our parents' houses and maybe all our needs and not all our wants were cared for. Or we look back and remember days when we didn't have to worry about bills and salaries and retirement and health and all the rest. Or we look back and we remember, maybe we look back to the good old days being those days in college or when we got out of our parents' house and we had some measure of freedom that we didn't have before. Regardless of how it comes, we all have this shared experience, and it's the shared experience of the writer of Lamentations as well as he writes this book, looking at his present circumstance and looking back and remembering better times. And Lamentations, and especially Lamentations chapter 3, which is where we get part of our gospel reading for today, it gives us a framework for how to lament and how we can bring these griefs and sorrows and sadnesses to God. And so I want to share that with you this morning, and in preface of this, I have to say, I'm going to be looking at the entirety of Lamentations chapter 3. So if you brought a Bible along, or if you want to grab the Pew Bible, or if you've got a Bible on your smartphone and you want to take it out and follow along, if you don't, that's fine. But if this is one of those moments where if you're looking at your smartphone, I won't be silently judging you. So in Lamentations 3 as a whole, we get this framework for how we can lament before God. And one of the first things that stands out is that when we lament, we need to remember God's character, who God is. Because I guarantee in times of severe sorrow and sadness and grief, that character of God can become obscured and harder to see. We wind up in those moments doing what I call running through the list of frequently asked questions. And one of the things that all of these frequently asked questions, or many of them, have in common is they begin with the word, why? Why, God, has this happened to me? Why, God, is this still happening to me? Why, God, aren't you doing something about this? And underneath each one of those questions is another question. And it's a question about God's character. Sometimes we aren't even consciously aware that we're asking it. But when we ask those frequently asked questions, the question underneath all of them are questions of God's character. God, are you really good? God, do you really care? God, do you have the power to help me in this situation? The writer of Lamentations was familiar with all of this. He has this shared experience that we all have, one where he's experienced grief and sadness, and now he's taking that grief and sadness, those sorrows, to God in his lament. One of the negatives of doing the readings that we do and just getting snippets is you can miss the larger context. And this happens here in Lamentations chapter 3. If you only look at the verses we have, you can walk away with a different idea of what Lamentations as a whole looks like. I say that because Lamentations is only 5 chapters, so if you want to go home and read it today, it doesn't take very long to read through it. But there's only one part in this entire book that has a shred of good news. And it's our gospel reading today, which sits smack dab in the middle of this book. All the rest of it is pretty doom and gloom. So, for example, look at Lamentations 3, these opening verses, and know that the writer, he doesn't hold anything back. And with good reason, because his experience, the experience out of which he's writing this book, is one where he has seen Jerusalem besieged by the Babylonians. They've overcome the city. They've taken many of the Israelites away into slavery. And it's in that context he writes what he does. He says in verse 4, "He's made my flesh and my skin waste away. He's broken my bones." You jump down to verse 7. "He's walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy." And then verse 10, "He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He has made me desolate." Verse 16, "He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is." And you thought you had it bad. This man knew sorrow and suffering. But what's remarkable to me, and I think it's remarkable if you read through all of chapter 3 together, is what comes next. Because he doesn't hold anything back in terms of laying his soul bare before God, exactly how he's feeling. He doesn't hold back, but what he does next is different than what many of us do. He doesn't jump on the carousel of those frequently asked questions and begin asking why. Instead, he does something very different. He turns and he begins to relate God's character verbally again. So in verse 21, right before our reading for today picks up, he says this, "But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope." So again, in verse 16, he said, "He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is." And then he says, "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope." And here's where our reading for today begins. "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies are never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." In the midst of these awful present circumstances that he's experiencing, he knows that his hope isn't in looking back on the past. It's not in the mess of his present. It's in the future, in God's character and who he is, a God who is loving and merciful and faithful. And so for you and for me, when we have these moments of lamentation ourselves, when we experience grief and sorrow and sadness, remember God's character. Remember, in spite of what may be awful circumstances that you're living through in that moment, that God's character never changes. He's loving and merciful and faithful. The second thing to keep in mind in these moments of lamentation is to remember your character. Not just remember who God is, but remember who you are. And this is important because if we forget, and we have a tendency to to think probably better of ourselves than we should. But if we forget this, who we are, not just children of God, but also sinners in need of God's grace, then what happens is this prayer of lament can quickly become a pity party, where we just wallow in our own self-pity. Woe is me. How can all of this be happening to me? I'm innocent. I don't deserve any of this. It's easy for that prayer of lamentation to become instead a pity party. It happens very quickly and oftentimes without even us consciously being aware of it. See, every generation of people has experienced injustice and violence and hatred and anger and warfare. There are only two people who have ever lived who could really look back and remember the good old days, better days than these. You know, and just curious, anybody guess who those two people were? Yeah, Sandy, Adam and Eve. They're the only two people who can look back and honestly remember better times. Now, for the rest of us, we look back and those things that we've called the good old days, one of two things is happening. Either we're not fully remembering what we call the good old days. This happens, you know, when I remember the good old days when gas was below a dollar. Now, that part of it was good. But when I say that, I'm probably forgetting that there were other issues and problems and troubles in my life that I was experiencing that I've just kind of glossed over when I'm saying I'm remembering the good old days. The other thing that happens, though, is while those good old days may actually be better for us than they are, or they might have been better for us than what we're experiencing in our present, that doesn't mean they were better for everyone else. So in the case of the writer of Lamentations, he can honestly look back and remember better days before the siege, before his friends and family members were carried off into captivity. But there's still a whole lot of sin and grief, injustice and violence in the world that others were experiencing at that same moment. And so, with that in mind, the writer of Lamentations in verse 40 says this: "Let us test and examine our ways and return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and hands to God in heaven." It's only when we examine ourselves and really examine our character and who we are that these laments become prayers rather than just occasions for self-pity. So we have another tendency to write the story of our lives. And when we do that, we, almost without fault, we make ourselves the heroes of our own stories, and then we populate those stories with villains. Sometimes those villains are nameless. They pop in and out almost instantaneously. It's like the guy who cuts you off in traffic, gets your blood boiling. They're there, and then they're gone. Sometimes those villains, though, they have names and faces, and they're around for a lot longer. It might be a boss or a coworker, might be a family member or a former friend. But when we do this, and we write our stories with ourselves as the heroes and other people around us as villains, we forget one important thing: that all of the people around us, they're also writing their own stories, where they are the heroes, and their stories are populated by villains. And we forget that while there might be someone who's a villain in our life, we're probably the villain in someone else's stories at some point as well. We're called as Christians to take a long, hard look at ourselves, to see ourselves truly, our sin, so that we can see our need for Christ and what He's done for us. Because Jesus didn't just go to the cross because of the villains in your life. He went to the cross because of and for you as well. And so change, it starts here with me, in my heart. And then from there, it flows out as the gospel is that good news changes me, and I become now someone sharing that same grace, undeserved mercy and love of God with others. And when that happens, when you remember your character, It's then that our laments become prayers, prayers of mercy to the only one with the power and the inclination to save us. Lamenting is not fun. There's no other way around it, but it can be a good thing. It's good in that God hasn't called us to suffer in silence. Instead, He calls us to come to Him and to cast all our cares, our burdens, our concerns on Him. And that's an incredible thing. None of us are autonomous. And the truth of that is written in our own skin. At least for me personally, the weirdest thing I think about these bodies that God has given us is our belly buttons. It served a purpose once, not really doing much now, except for this one thing. If you stop and think about it, they're reminders that none of us are autonomous. That we enter into this world dependent on another, on our moms. And whether we see it or acknowledge it, we go through this life dependent on others as well, and most especially dependent on God, on His mercy and His love. So when you lament, remember God's character, that He's loving and merciful and faithful. And remember your own character, that you are both a child of God and that you were a sinner, one for whom Christ died. And now you are a saint. And in those moments of lamentation, when your mind starts to get on that carousel of those frequently asked questions and you wonder, why, God, aren't you doing something? Consider this. He is doing something. He's been doing it all along, working from the very beginning to bring about this plan of redemption and restoration through Adam and Eve, through the family of Abraham, through the judges and the kings and the prophets of Israel, all the way to Christ. And after Christ's death and resurrection and His ascension into heaven, that plan still goes forth with every successive generation of disciples. When new ones like Luke are baptized, as he grows up and begins to learn this story of faith and then share that story of faith with others, it carries forth so that you and I can sing into our darkness, "Great is Thy faithfulness," and wait patiently for God to shine His light into our sorrow and our grief and our sadness. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks this morning for who You are, that Your character is one of steadfast love and mercy and forgiveness for us sinners. Lord, we rejoice that through our baptisms You have called us, named us Your sons and daughters. Lord, we pray that in our moments of lamentation, You would make those moments of prayer and trust in You. In Jesus' name, amen.